Setting up shop.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Setting Up Shop. My name's Dan. I'm a wood turner from the UK. And with me, as always, are Heidi, a potter from America, and Rasmus, a blacksmith from Norway. How has it been, guys?
It's been good.
Can't complain.
Excellent. So we're at season three, and thank you very much to everyone who have been stalwart listeners. We've got some nice regular numbers coming along. Obviously, we would like them to grow, so please tell your friends. But even so, we're happy enough that we're going to continue doing this for a little while. Always, please send in any suggestions of topics you'd like us to cover. This season, we are toying with the idea of possibly having our first guest on. So please look out for that. We will mention that episode. And we're also going to try and endeavor, I mean me, are going to try and endeavor to actually increase our social media posts and things like that to keep people interested and informed. So check all of that out in the usual places. So our episode this week, what's our topic? What are we talking about? We're going to talking about, rather cryptically named by Erasmus, the subject title, The Name You Choose. We're talking about really the name that you would choose for your business. We're going to talk about the name that you would choose for whatever it is you want to call the thing that you're doing, your side hustle, your business, your small craft thing, your beer money project, whatever it is you are calling this now, or even the name of a podcast, for instance. Because names are important. They explain an awful lot to the public or the people who find your thing before they've ever met you. And it's quite often something that we will overlook or that can evolve over time. So the reason why this subject matter sprang to mind for myself is this is something I'm currently going through. I'm going to do a name change for my business, and we'll talk more about that later. This is also something that Heidi's gone through. So I will attack you first, Heidi, drop you in it straight from the get-go. Would you mind talking to us about what the name of your small business originally was and how you've changed it and reasons why?
Sure. So initially we had a small business, so we still do. It's just not super active. It's called Slap Stuff Together. It was a husband and wife team of makers. And we didn't really know what the hell we were doing half the time when we make a video or post something. So we were like, well, you know, what are some slang terms for like a hack job or, you know, just throwing something together? And it was, here in America, slapping things together is basically like just kind of rigging something together with very little skill or background or history or talents, maybe. So we were definitely trying to portray an image of, we don't really know what we're doing, but we are just stupid enough to try. Some things are going to turn out really great. Other things were going to be a work in progress. And some things we will never try again. So the name fit, right? And yeah. You know, in America, to brand your business, you have to have a name that's unique and not repeated within, you know, the 50 states for obvious like trademarking and those kind of things. And your business shouldn't necessarily carry a name that overlaps with someone else similarly in that same type of trade. So like if I were a technical company, like selling computers, I wouldn't necessarily want to name my business Apple and just change the spelling because it defers to the big business Apple. So Slap Stuff Together was like really unique, worked for what we needed it to do, was available, and was kind of telling the story of what Ben and I were doing. Now, when I started developing a product, it made more sense to pivot what I was doing off of Slap Stuff Together. So originally the pottery was under Slap Stuff Together, but some of the feedback that I was getting was from shops that were selling my product were going, you know, the name doesn't really work with a product. And I was actually just watching Simone Yetz's video about building her products or her product business. And she was like, obviously like the shitty robot thing made sense for me to like have like this slapstick kind of experience for everyone. But like I needed something a little bit more serious for my product business. And even with like her shop where she was selling the products, she was like consistently going back to humor, but it didn't necessarily make it sound like her product was worth buying, right? And that was kind of the feedback that I was getting from the shops that I had my product in. They were like, slap stuff together. Kind of sounds like it's not something that's going to last. It's not something that you're skilled with making. Maybe consider something that is something that can grow, right? So if I just named it Heidi Jacobs Pottery, number one, I don't know. I don't really like my name. So number two, it's pretty generic. And number three, I wanted to have something that I could bring people on and it not just be about me as a person or me as a studio, but more as a branded product. And one of the things that's like really important to the people that I sell my work to and wholesale is that I'm Pittsburgh based. Yeah. So having a name that is a regional name that ties in where I live or where my pottery is located is really great for the customer base that I'm chasing. So all of those things kind of made me decide on Whitehall Pottery versus Slap Stuff Together versus my own personal name. But it did take some research to see like, okay, well, if I'm changing my name, does that mean that I have to have a separate business entity? For a while, I didn't. I just kept it as Slap Stuff Together as the main business, and then a subsidiary of Slap Stuff Together was Whitehall Pottery. But as Whitehall Pottery outpaced and outgrew Slap Stuff Together, I decided to take that as a separate entity and make it an LLC so that, you know, I as a person wasn't liable for something that might go wrong with my business and I won't lose my house. Like it's big enough to do that now. So, you know, all of those considerations were like, oh, well, do we take Slap Stuff Together and make it an LLC? It didn't seem viable. It wasn't what was making the business great. It was Whitehall Pottery that was making the business great. So we just decided to keep Slap Stuff Together as a name and be able to like post social media wise for like the wood shop and other things not pottery related. But, you know, sorry, really long winded today. No, really sorry about that.
That's absolutely fine because you're telling the story. You're telling the story of the development of from one to the other. And it's there were a couple of things that you said that were really interesting. So you mentioned near the beginning about having to have a unique name and things like that. Is that if you're registering the name on like a centralized, this is a formalized business name. I wasn't sure.
But also like you don't want to just go like, I'm going to call myself Duresta Works. But like, it's bad form to like steal someone's name just to like ride on their coattails.
Absolutely.
But I mean, from a perspective of we were going to sell product and I was going to need to pay taxes.
Yeah.
I needed to make sure that I followed the right, process for that.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fair enough. And I think you've hit on some interesting points there. So the name change was actually driven by your customers.
Yes.
So the name change wasn't driven because you suddenly went, oh, this isn't really fitting in with the ethos of the company. The name change was driven because you had wholesale customers who were like, hey, we reckon we can sell more if the name fit the brand more. And so you were fortunate in that they gave you a bit of guidance rather than just dropping you as a potential supplier. And it might be interesting for some of our listeners who might sit there and go, oh, I wonder if that's why. Like they're not getting picked up. Like if they're trying to sell their product somewhere and they're called, you know, Lazy Joe's something or other, and you know, and they're trying to sell it in a high end shop of precision stuff, the chances of their product getting in on the name alone are not necessarily high because the impression they've given, that kind of first impression type thing, is that's not going to be anything that drives you forwards or makes you selected above and beyond someone else. Now, we're going to have to talk a little bit about the elephant in the room. We're going to talk about Rasmus's workshop name, which I think will be a much shorter story. So Raz, if you'd like to run us through what your business name is and how you came to that name.
My business name is Lewin Smear, which is basically one of my surnames. And what I do or what I am as a profession. Smed is smith or blacksmith. In Norwegian, that is, to those that haven't caught on to that yet. And in my world, this is a very common way of styling a traditional business. It is your name and what you do. Now, that being said, I have two surnames. The other one is Stansgaard. which is longer, more complicated, and the spelling is like old Danish or Dutch or something. It gets weird. There's a lot of extra letters. And I sort of had to choose one side of the family or the other one when I started up my business, like coming up on nearly 12 years ago now. Going with Luan seemed like the easier choice. It was shorter, easier to spell, easier to remember, but also it's a place where my family is from. And it is also one of the places that like half the population of Norway went to visit during the pandemic when we couldn't go for vacation abroad. So like that's like the example of the how renowned this place is in for like scenic places in Norway. And it's been on lots of people's bucket list, and just like pandemic forced everybody to like, oh yeah, let's go and check this off the list, kind of. So everybody knows about Luan. It is in the deep fjords. You have the mountains. You have that emerald green water. Like you have the glaciers. You have the deep forest. You have like all of those things that a lot of people come to Norway to see. And people in Norway that lives like in down south here in boring Oslo, they want to go there and experience that.
Boring Oslo.
I was going to say, you were doing so well. You're describing this beautiful place, but the fact that you now live in Oslo and are how many hours drive away from it?
7, I think. But that's like where the family is from. My granddad was like one of the first kids that didn't go to America, but moved out of the valley, kind of.
Yeah.
Second side of the whole thing is another common surname is in Norway is Lien and not Luen. And I have a blacksmithing friend who is a couple of years ahead of me sort of in the industry, but we are just roughly the same age. And he went for the sort of other style. He called himself Lien Smie, which is forge or workshop. So it was a vaguely conscious decision of like, okay, I know him, our names, if I'm going for Luan, our names are similar enough that I want a little bit of distinction. So calling myself blacksmith instead of the forge, kind of, I thought would help doing that distinction. And also like, yeah, the blacksmith in Norway, there's not that many of us. So it's very easy to get to know and be at least known or know of almost everybody else.
Yeah.
And then you can actually do some thinking and consideration of that. But I was lucky. I was really lucky in the sense that both the name I chose and the logo I sort of sketched for myself really early on has just happened to work for me really well. They stand out. They have just, this is not me being brilliant. This is just me being lucky and saying like, oh, that seems all right. And that seems all right. And I'll use that for now and see how it goes. And then people recognize it. People talk about it and it works. And yeah, I just haven't come up in a situation like you had where like anybody has talked to me and said like, have you considered changing the name or anything? I was like, no, this is me. This is what I do. It sort of encapsulates everything, at least in my world.
We'll talk more in the future about your supposed luck another time. But Heidi, yes, got something to jump
in. I did want to mention, so like, it's not common for stores to offer you that kind of advice or guidance. What I was fortunate about is that, I mean, I could just name drop them. Love Pittsburgh was the impetus reason that I have product at all. They saw what I was doing, got really excited about it. I've been working with them for years, like helping them with logos and helping them raise money to like expand their business. So they very much, part of their mission statement is to help local artists and makers build business. So it wasn't like expecting that kind of advice. And it's not common. If it were some just like rando like coffee shop saying like, you need to change your name, then I probably wouldn't have taken it so well. But because I'd been working with them and I had a relationship with them where it was like a lot of give and take, where they're going, we really like this product. We think that if you make these minor adjustments, you know, we could sell more and you could build your portfolio a little bit better. So like their whole mission is to prop up women and minority makers and business owners in the region. So just wanted to like,
oh yeah,
you know, say yeah, that like in absolutely. Case you're like, well, who would even?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And I think that's a really important point to note. And I mean, it goes back in a way to what we've said several times across the seasons of recording this, is that you're not often going to get people who will be honest. If you put your work in front of someone, most people don't want to hurt your feelings. So if they're not genuinely enthusiastic or excited about it, most people will do their best to pretend to find something that they like about either your work or your logo or your business or whatever. It takes quite a lot for someone to be willing to stand in front of you and say, hey, I like the direction you're going in. I like, you know, there's some really positive, some really good stuff here. Have you considered that maybe if you do this, that this other positive stuff might happen or it might improve what you're doing? And more often than not, the person who's doing it isn't skilled enough to discuss it in that manner. They normally just sort of say, well, that's a bit rubbish. Have you considered doing this and like try and change the entire way that you're doing things? And instantly we all can like get our backs up and get really defensive because this is our child. This is our passion and all the rest of it. So I think you were very, very fortunate to be in that environment where you felt comfortable and they felt comfortable to have that situation, because I mean, you can't correlate it directly because you don't have the parallel universe where you can see what would have happened when you didn't change the name and what happened when you did. But I would suspect that obviously that's made a huge difference to the way in which you're working, the way you consider what you're doing, the sort of stuff you're designing and all the rest of it. And we can see that in the pieces that are behind you or the pieces that you put out on your website and everything else. So I brought this subject up because, of course, I want to talk about myself. I mean, that's why I started this whole podcast, isn't it? According to some people.
I haven't said that.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, my wife's been quite vocal in the chats about when we say, are there any suggestions for the podcast? She's been very insistent. Yeah, stop my husband speaking so much and let the others have a go.
She's such a brat. You've got the best vocal out of there, out of all three of us.
Like, I would disagree. I would disagree. But yet again, if anyone wants to employ me to read out any books they've written. So I've had several small business ideas over the years. And the wood turning one currently is the one that I have actually been really serious about and pushed forwards and that kind of thing. Not so much this year. I've various reasons for that. But one of the benefits of taking a step back this year from focusing on going to all the craft shows and making the product and like push, is that I've allowed kind of things to ruminate in my head about what's my direction? What is the reality of me ever being able to potentially do this full time? You know, what does that look like in a revenue perspective? How would I generate that much revenue? Is my focus too narrow? Do I need to broaden it? And does the company name encompass all of that? What does the name mean? And certainly most importantly, and one of the reasons why I'm looking at a name change is whilst I'm very proud of the fact I designed my own logo, having no graphic design experience. Those of you who haven't seen it yet, it's not exactly an impressive logo, but it's cool. Like you can kind of understand it. It's sharp. It makes sense. The name itself, when I came up with it, I just wanted it to be this one word, Bevel. And when I did a search, that was fine. No one had it. And then when I went to buy the domain name, an American company who manufactures products for gents hairdressing now owns that. So they're called Bevel for whatever reason. So that then meant that everything I'd built up in my head to being Bevel, I then ended up with Bevel Wood. Okay, that's fine. So it differentiates because it's talking about wood. That's fine. I can still kind of, that makes sense. But Bevel Wood on Instagram was taken. So it's then having to be Bevel Wood UK. So I felt even as I was doing it, that the idea I'd had for the name was being watered down. It was getting more confusing for people to potentially find me. Just taking a step back and thinking about it, certainly this year, if you think about it from a search engine optimization perspective, so that's how people would find you on the internet, on Google, Instagram, whatever, what flashes up. If you search for the word Bevel or even Bevel Wood, there are so many articles and pages and descriptions about tools with a beveled edge cutting timber that are going to appear before me and selling my product, because that's what I base the name on. A bevel edge tool cuts timber, whether that's wood turning and working tools or a machine tools, you know, that's what I base the idea on. But I didn't think about the sheer volume and history of things that had that name in it. So it's, unless you type in my specific website name or link it to my name, that makes it very difficult to find. So I've been considering alternatives. I did consider, as you mentioned, Heidi, do I go with like my name? Do I go Dan Tarrant Woodturner? That's quite a common thing in the woodturning world that you would call it your name and then woodturner. But I tend to find, for me, that I feel that tends to be, if you're more of someone who wants to be an artist in the format, you're turning one-off pieces, you're spending a lot of time on them, and you've got a really good artistic imagination to create these pieces, which is not who I am, or certainly I'm not there the way that they are. I see myself more as a craftsman. I like to make repeat things consistently to a good standard and then gradually build my skills up to maybe have a bit more imagination. So again, I didn't want to use the name thing, but I love history. And I love the idea of leaving the stamp of a part of my name somewhere and associating with it, and also where I'm based. What is it I'm doing? So there were many different variants of what I was going to consider. So the new name I'm going for, so I've not changed the website yet. I've not changed the Instagram page or anything yet, but it's going to be called Tarrants. And so that's my surname, just with an S on the end. It's Tarrants. And then somewhere on the logo underneath, it's going to be Woodturner and then Somerset, UK. So it says who I am, what I do, where I am. So right at the top of the page or on the logo on the card, because if you look at my current business cards, it's really crisp and clean. And it says Bevel and it says Dan Tarrant. And I've had people stood in front of me at my craft stall, having looked at my stuff that they like, who have asked for a business card, look at that, and then said, so what do you do? Okay, yeah. So like you can be crisp and clean, but that doesn't mean that people will get it. Like, you know what you're doing. You know what you're selling. You know the history behind why you've called yourself who you are and where you are. But you've got to sell that to the potential customers in front of you. So I'm going through this change of name and website and all that kind of stuff, and the consideration of, do I open a brand new Instagram page? Do I just change the name on the Instagram page? Is the name available the way that I want it to be available? All that kind of stuff. But if we take these three examples and we look right back, if we were starting from scratch, if all three of us now were setting up a brand new business and we were considering what is it that we now, with the knowledge we've gained, I would suggest there are three questions that you can ask that would help to generate a name, if you like. First one is, who are you? So, and not just your name, but broadly speaking, you know, who are you? Who is the business? What is the business about? That could potentially dictate or differentiate you from someone else. Where are you? As Heidi said, you know, we're talking, you know, based in Pittsburgh, she's picked an area and all the rest of it, and it makes a lot of difference to her customer base. And then the third one is, what are you selling? So again, we're not talking about logos at the moment. That's a whole other thing that you can, like a rabbit hole you can fall down and get distracted by. But just thinking about the name of it, so who are you, where are you, and what are you selling? And remember that whatever you pick has got to fit on a business card. So Rasmus not picking Stensgaard Smed has probably saved him from having to buy the extra wide business cards.
Also, that's cost saving. Having the initials SS is kind of contentious in Norway still.
Okay. But so if we do this almost as an exercise then, guys. So Rasmus, give me a type of craft that isn't one of our three.
Crochet.
Lovely. I will say that they are located in Germany. And Heidi, so we know we're a crocheter and we're based in Germany, but what is it we are crocheting?
Ducks.
Excellent. If you'd said geese, this could have all gone down a whole tangent inspired by Rasmus. But anyway, okay, so we're crocheting ducks and we're based in Germany. Okay, we've ignored the fact that we haven't got the name of a person. That's absolutely fine. What would be the first thing you'd do, Heidi, if you knew that was your business? What would be the first thing you'd do research-wise when you were considering what to call it as a name?
I would first check to see if Dutch ducks was available.
Dutch ducks. As in Deutsch ducks.
Yeah, I like Deutsch ducks.
Yeah.
Say it like you do.
I wasn't sure because Dutch is a different country. That was something. Okay.
But I think the first thing that I would try and ideate about is, are ducks the only thing I'm ever going to make?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I'm making now. That's what, like, my product has become famous for. But am I passionate about ducks? Or is it just like, this is the first thing I learned how to create and it took off, so that's all I've been making? Or do I have plans to grow in the future outside of just ducks?
Hmm.
Do I have plans to grow outside of just crocheting? Or am I planning on doing knitting as well? Or, you know, any kind of other fabric art or craft? And then, is it important to me to show that I'm German? Or is it even more like localized? Like, oh, we're in Berlin, so that's more important to me than just showing that I'm German.
I mean, it would be amazing if you were in Düsseldorf and then you could have
Düsseldorf. Deutsch Düsseldorf ducks.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. Apparently German ducks are available on shopforducks.co.uk.
There doesn't
appear to be a website called Deutsch Ducks. Maybe? Just saying, guys, there's a possibility here for a whole new business empire.
Oh, shoot. I'm going to look.
But that, yeah, some really good points, Heidi, is keeping it is keeping the keeping the things available, keeping, you know, at the moment you could really narrow things down if that's what you call yourself. So I'm going to shout out a company. So there's a girl I went to primary school with, and she opened a company called Baby Moos like 20 odd years ago now. And it sells baby clothes, but they're alternative baby clothes. So they were for people who were punks and goths and, you know, all of that, and metalheads. And they didn't want necessarily the kind of baby blue and baby pink and the stereotypical stuff. So she made some of the first baby grows that had like stegosaurus things across the back of it, or like a mohawk on the top. She did them in black and purple, and, you know, all the kind of stuff. She found the niche and she filled it, and she made sure she got proper patent pending and all that kind of stuff. And she learned a huge amount about business. But the company's called Baby Moos, you know, and that could be quite a wide selection of things, but those people who knew the company, they recognized the brand and it went in. So it didn't have to be super specific. It wasn't like Baby Grows or alternativebabygrows.com or anything like that. It was still a kind of cutesy name that fit the industry, but it was broad enough that it could have been such a wide variety of things. So if we've got our crocheting, our German duck crocheter, I feel like we need to come up with a name. For those of you who have never listened to the Fools with Tools podcast, they did a much better version of this particular exercise. They dedicated a whole episode to it. Was helped by the fact that one of them was a graphic designer and brand developer and did this all day long for his job. But there are whole ways of looking at this, and considering the fact that if you're still working out of like a bedroom or a garage or whatever, or garage, and you just want to get your business going, yes, you can give it a really simple name, but just put that little bit more of thought into it will really help a lot.
Right.
I'm certainly not going to suggest that we pull up any names of people that we think that don't work or aren't any good or any of that kind of stuff. But I'm sure all of us have seen names of companies, or like legitimate companies, not just necessarily craftspeople, where you look at it and you think, what the hell do they do? I have no idea, you know, or they've changed that, you know, it's like a three initial name, and then they try to be really clever with the logo and you can't even read what the three initials are. And then you discover, oh, you're an energy company. Oh, right. Okay. I couldn't tell. It was too messy. So keeping things clean and keeping things localized or whatever can be really, really handy. Yes, Raz.
Also, I would just like to point out that depending on what's important to you, that's where you should look for the most inspiration to your name. Like if you're only doing dropshipping and you don't do anything local, having the local name in your company name doesn't make any sense. If you want to be anonymous in doing this, because whatever you're doing conflicts with your day job, you don't want to get too associated or mixed up or something, not using your name in the company name is a good idea. And also, like Heidi points out, kind of, if the only thing you plan to do ever is this one specific thing, then that's a good thing to have in the company name and call that out. But if you either know that you're going to grasp a bit wider than that, or you know that you might want to expand, or you already have plenty of ideas of expansion, then having a name that allows for that would make sense. But also, if you change your mind, you can always just change the name. Like Dan is kind of realizing now and is in the process of doing, like, you can always change your name, like change your mind and reevaluate things and all of that. But you probably shouldn't do it every single year.
No, absolutely not. I think it's a healthy thing to do, is to reevaluate every now and then, because,
yeah,
you know, as part of the name change, it's meant that I've kind of removed the mental barriers of saying, oh no, all I ever make is kitchen and tableware. Well, now I'm sat there going like, well, actually, if I'm saying that I'm just a wood turner in Somerset, then I can start looking at a lot more at generic interiors stuff. And unfortunately, yes, that does mean I will be making lamps at some point.
You have made lamps, haven't you?
No, not yet. I've still managed to avoid it. I have designs, I have requests, but I still haven't made any.
You still haven't had that light bulb moment.
This isn't two-thirds focus, right?
Oh, sorry.
keep the bad jokes for Jan. No, I haven't made any lamps yet. I've still abstained. That's one of those things. I also haven't made pots with lids yet, that Heidi will also be pleased to hear. Mm-hmm. We all have those projects that we shy away from, even though they might seem simple to some people.
Butter keepers.
I mean, for me, it's swords. I was hoping to do them early this year, and I still haven't gotten around to it.
But you want to do that. That's a want-to project.
Yeah. These are projects. The other two are projects that both of us know we possibly should get better at doing, because people will probably buy them. We don't really want to do them.
All right.
But anyway, steering back on topic with changing the names or changing a name or creating a name. It's also important, I think, don't get hung up on things. Don't get hung up on things, but I would also suggest, whilst it can be a good place for ideas, don't stick with something like ChatGPT or other AI generators will just churn out. Don't get me wrong, they're changing daily. And if you put in there, say, hey, you know, tell you what, Raz, why don't you pull that up now? You're a German crocheter who crochets ducks. What would be a good name options in which system do you use? You don't use ChatGPT, do you?
No, I do.
You do? Okay. I wasn't sure if it was yourself or someone else. Interestingly, mine, it said brainstorm names for an orange cat that we're saving from the shelter.
You're saving a cat from the shelter?
No, we're not. That was just literally what ChatGPT was giving ideas of what's happening. No, we've already got our lovely cat, and she.
I thought you were getting another one. Okay.
No, not until this one has unfortunately left our presence and decided to chase myself elsewhere on a farm. We will not be getting another cat. Sorry, Janie.
Well, he's digging into that. Should we talk through how we came up with setting up shop? Because we did use
a little bit
of ChatGPT, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I did wonder about throwing that in. Can you remember the some of the other alternatives, Heidi?
Oh, gosh. Well, the first thing that we said was, we're all three in different countries. Is there nomenclature in one of our countries that makes sense?
Yeah.
And then Rasmus gave us some words that we couldn't pronounce, and we all laughed a lot. And we decided that Norwegian wasn't the language to go with. Dan had an aversion to artisan.
Yeah, I don't like the word artisan. Yeah.
And we were like, you know, is our podcast going to be very specific and stay specific to small business and growing your small business and all of that stuff? What were some of the other questions we had? I feel like the stuff's in Notion, isn't it?
It probably is. Yeah, it's probably in there somewhere. I remember we circled back to the word the word shop with an E on the end, because I think if I remember rightly, that is Norwegian for either like workshop or retail space or something similar.
To buy. Exactly, have adopted the word to go shopping and or shop.
Yeah. Yeah, so that then worked really well. And then we were like, oh, we wanted to like how to start your shop or how to start your business or that kind of thing. But also recognizing the fact that we are three independent people who, whilst one of us does this full time, none of us are what you would call highly qualified professionals at teaching other people on how to do this, as witnessed by the ramblings of this particular episode.
Oh, why do you got to cut us down?
Have you found it in Notion, Heidi?
I did not, but I did find like our first meeting notes about like what each of us were assigned to do.
Oh, that could be embarrassing.
But it basically has it just basically has what our name is. So I think maybe we set up the Notion after we had determined.
Yeah,
what
I've probably gotten it written down in my old man.
I'm sure you have it analog. Yeah.
I could have a look. So what's ChatGPT come up with for our German crocheter of ducks then?
So actually quite a couple here that I really liked. The first one that stood out to me was Quacken Yarn.
Quacken Yarn.
Yeah, I mean, that it is
works
exactly
good in English.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure how well that would sound in German, but also there is one that I kind of like is what Knitten Enten, which is a knitting, which Enten is duck in German, and that's okay. My German is very very limited, but about that much I know. Quirky Quacks is another one.
Quirky
ducks, yeah. Schnatter und Stitch is one.
Okay.
Die Heckenlente, I think, depending. I haven't read that word before, so there's a few interesting here. Heathered Yarn, Duckling Stitches.
Doesn't sound anywhere near as exciting as I was hoping it was going to be, if I'm perfectly honest.
I liked Quacken Yarn. I thought that was
actually Quacken Yarn
is a good, I mean, I think if Heidi hasn't already bought the domain name,
look out.
Oh, I tell you what, actually, in fact, following on from that, Raz, can you just look up and see if there is already a crochet company called Quacken Yarn?
Yeah.
Because that would be the other thing where we potentially haven't got it, but
there is something called Quack Yarn is a company on Etsy and Instagram. But
I mean, I've obviously gone back too far in my old man notes, because I've actually just found some of the options for company names before I chose Bevel.
Oh, let's hear some.
So this is obviously quite far down. I had Turned was one of the other ones which I decided not to go with on the basis that it could be, in this day and age, a prolific website for people who may or may not be challenging sexual orientation. And I figured that could potentially lead to some interesting conversations that were not necessarily welcome.
Yeah.
I also looked at possibly looking up the Latin names of like various timbers. And the others I had, one was bark. Again, could be used for dogs as opposed to a bit too vague. Burl, and also ripple, because I really liked rippled timber. So I think I chose right in the end, but yeah, that's not necessarily. I mean, if you've never been through old notebooks, guys, if you make notes and you have notebooks, do look through them every now and then, because not only was that mildly interesting, but I've just found an entire step from start to finish of a 10-step thing of a turning project that I've never done. That I created in my head, and I've written out exact steps of how I would do things, and I've just never even, I completely forgotten about it. It's gone, it's just there. But whilst we're digressing from that entirely, I'm getting very distracted now.
That's all right.
But that's fine. Other advice, Heidi, from your professional background in, you know, labeling and designing things and whatever, and clarity, are there any things that you would say have stuck out to you as like bad ideas that people have regularly done and you wish they just wouldn't? Or are there any that, and we're ignoring still, you know, discussions about choice of font and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. We're not talking design, we're just talking name. I would say people that name their product or company off of something that they just really like and it has no tie into their company. So I'm thinking of like unicorn sundae, whatever. And you're like, do you make like really colorful ice cream treats? And they're like, no, I just really like unicorns and sundaes.
Yeah.
and it's like, okay, well, yes, you are passionate about those things, but there really isn't a tie-in unless like you're doing some like cutesy, like I just want to have this like super cutesy name for my glitter project or whatever. I think also like tone, right? So if you are considering yourself as a like high-end not personally crafted things, not manufactured, or like you have this idea that it's like all walnut and it's all like pristine and everything, choosing a name that's like a bubblegum name really is like juxtaposed with like what you're doing. It's like so far-fetched from what your vision is going to be. So you may really like the name, but ultimately when you get to the stage where you're building your logo and you're building your website and you're choosing your brand colors and all that, it will be even more apparent that your name does not fit with the idea of what you are or what you're trying to sell. So I think, you know, having those things as part of your development, like seeing those things far ahead enough in advance when you're coming up with a name is important. Like to me, it's almost like I like a mood board when I'm starting to kind of try and figure out what I am going to name myself or what I'm going to name something or like this product that I'm developing. I like to have a mood board to say like, well, these are the colors that kind of feel like what they're going to work with. And then maybe like a word will pop up because it's associated with those colors, or maybe just having that ambiance gives you like this emotional reaction to certain smells or descriptions that then would be able to be utilized for naming. So you don't have to come up with there's no like requirement to say like, come up with a name, then come up with a logo, then come up with your brand. Like it can all be kind of like within its whole self organically. Yeah. And then you can just like tweak it and modify it. There are brands that have been out there for 50, 60 years, and they maybe have kept a logo similarly for 50 or 60 years, but they've done like slight shifts in order to modernize. You'll see that with like Kellogg's, or you'll see it with car manufacturers
Cadbury's. Cadbury's have done some major changes that you wouldn't necessarily notice because you're so bought into the brand that you're going with the purple color. That's what you're buying. And you haven't even noticed that the logo's changed.
Yeah. And it's like, it might be subtle just to like I said, modernize the font, or they might have decided to tweak the color just so much because maybe a pigment was no longer available, or a new pigment came out that like spoke to their brand more. Yeah. But those are just things to like realize that you don't have to segment it. You don't have to say like, I'm going to write down a list of words that I really like. And then I go to, well, what color like speaks to those words? You could start with a color. You could say like, well, my favorite color is blue, so therefore my branding is all going to be blue. But if my name is red, like it doesn't really make sense to have blue branding when my name is red. And so like that positioning can be helpful too when you're ideating.
Absolutely. And I think it's important as well to, if you're going to have product ranges under your name, they don't have to necessarily tie into the parent name. So a really good example of this, or I think anyway, there is I don't know if you guys have seen this one, but I saw in the news the other day that I say the news on an Instagram feed, that there's a restaurant in, I think, New York or somewhere that has changed the name of all of the dishes on its menu that it hands out to people going for a business lunch. So it no longer says like, beef stroganoff or, you know, spaghetti and meatballs or whatever. It now says stapler and other office words so that the business guys won't get in trouble for doing
so they can expense it.
They can write it off. So I went to this place and I bought three staplers in a couple of hole punches. And so now as a thing, you know, they can expense it legitimately because that's what it says in the description. If they're a big enough corporate, then the corporation aren't necessarily going to question it. The fact that you've paid like $24 for a stapler and you've bought three of them, they might begin to get suspicious.
Yeah.
But I think that's quite a clever move by whatever the restaurant's called. You know, I can't imagine that range of names in any way, shape or form ties in with the name of the business or like whatever. You know, it's clearly not an accurate description of what they're being supplied with. But if it then means that they're gaining a customer base who are happy to spend money and they're getting regular covers, they've now suddenly got a one-up on those businesses around them that otherwise might be just trying to beat them on lower prices.
There's a bar here called Work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, where I grew up, there was a bar called the Potting Shed.
Ah.
You know, I'm just going to the Potting Shed, you know, and I'll be there for hours, you know, that kind of thing. So it's quite, you know, certainly in bars and I think in, you know, the food and drink industry, this kind of thing's happened a lot more regularly, or even in things that are deemed more taboo, you know, like if you're selling products that have to come in unmarked packaging, that's really difficult to brand. But then at the same time, if you don't have to brand it because people don't want you to brand it, that might be quite cheap, actually, because your standard brown cardboard box is a lot more cost effective than worrying about, oh, I want it to be, you know, black and then wrapped in a bow and then, you know, like we're going to get it laser printed or whatever. And that's just the packaging before you've gone anywhere. So there is a lot to consider, but certainly, you know, what are you selling? Who are you? Where are you based? And what do those things mean to you and then to the business? But not so much that, you know, like Heidi said, there's a company I know that's based in a certain area of the UK. So that's half of the name. But the other half of the name is the name of the daughter. And that's great. And it works. Like the name rolls off the tongue. And I'm not going to say the name of the company, but it doesn't tell you what it is they do. So you have to know what they sell.
Isn't that the story of Mercedes? It's the name of the inventor's daughter or the founder's daughter as well.
Possibly. I don't know. I think high-end cars are kind of exclusive enough that, you know, you can get away with calling it whatever you like.
Jaguar.
I mean, you know, Lamborghini started off manufacturing tractors.
By all means.
You know, all of that kind of the stuff. But
they did?
Yeah.
Tractors.
They started off manufacturing tractors. He bought loads of Ferraris, loved the Ferraris, but hated the clutch on them. Went and told Mr. Ferrari, hey, look, if you tweak this, you could have an even more amazing car. I've got six of these cars. And Mr. Ferrari insulted him to his face. So he went off and built a rival car in order to beat the Ferrari and did. And there's a relatively recent film with Gabriel Byrne as Mr. Ferrari and can't remember the name of the actor who's been in lots of Marvel things and stuff as the Mr. Lamborghini. But yeah, I mean, you know, there are many reasons to name something and there are many reasons to not name something. When, you know, again, we're not professionals, but we've all been there and seen, you know, a company that's there. If you can get away with it a lot on food, you know, Dirty Burger, that tells you what they make. It's like, you know, burgers aren't necessarily good for you and you know that what they're making is potentially kind of be greasy and whatever. But if when you turn up there, the people look unwashed, that's a whole different spin all of a sudden, you know, like there's those levels of like, what exactly is the reasoning behind the name and everything else.
Yeah. Your name is just one part of your brand.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, it is
so much more to it.
Sort of combined with your logo, that alone on a business card should be enough to tell people what you're doing.
Yes. And make them interested enough to contact you.
Yeah. But then you have how you present yourself as a person, how you present what you're selling on either your website or on markets and whatnot. That helps tell the story of who you are and what you do.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the name is important, but it's not the only factor you need to think about. And you could also just pick something. It's kind of like what Heidi did and work with it and then realize that, oh, our focus are shifting, or I want to cater more to these people, or I want to narrow it down and only do these things, and then update, transition, move on.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question for you. So recently it was brought to my attention that Whitehall Pottery with a space is a company that existed in like the 1970s and prior. It was based out of Chicago and they made Crocs. So it was a ceramics company, but they don't have the naming rights in the United States anymore. It's gone under. So when I was doing my research and everything, didn't really come up at all. Mm-hmm. And now there are a lot of websites selling white, like people that are enthusiasts for Whitehall pottery, people that are selling vintage Whitehall pottery and those kind of things. And now Home Depot is starting to carry these Crocs that are Whitehall pottery or Whitehall ceramics or Whitehall Crocs or whatever. So I'm sitting there going, okay, when I do my searches now, they're starting to overpopulate in the system. They did exist before me. Mm-hmm. They didn't exist anymore when I was doing my research, and they weren't a popular thing for people to be searching for. That economy has changed now. Do I change my name or do I keep my name?
Genuine question. Really good one. I'd love to say change it to Home Depot Pottery. Yeah, no, that's a really good point, because you need to be aware of things like that.
Yeah, and things that like change all the time, right?
Because if you don't have a physical shop, and the way most people find you is through the internet, and you're getting bumped down the pages because a bigger company is selling a product with a similar name or the same name with space in a different place or whatever, then that's genuinely a thought process of, hey, do you know what? I've done it once. I can do it again. Is this really a problem? Do I shift it to something different? Yeah, I would be hard pressed to consider that one and think about it, because obviously there's a cost implication in re-registering, changing registration, updating names. You've got to see if stuff's available, both website domain, Instagram domain, all of that kind of thing. You've got to let all of your suppliers know. You've got to let all your locals know. You've got to change your brand. You've got to change your stamp, all of that kind of historical stuff. But in a different way, it suddenly means that that period of your career where you've been making it under that name now becomes collectible.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Like, I have probably 8,000 pieces in the world now.
Yeah,
I would say. Yeah. If I was averaging about 2,000 a year, I want to say that the algorithm matters to me, but because my vision of my business is more localized,
yeah,
it doesn't impact me as much. It's like a little bit like, oh, how can I talk about, you know, my name when like there was a company that had my name or similar name and, you know, they went out of business, da 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 da. Like, didn't come up in my research, didn't come up, you know, there was no blip until recently when I started searching. And then I did get some emails from people that were like, oh, I'm a collector of this pottery. And I'm like, no, it's not my pottery. You're collecting something that was made before I was born.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, shoot, how does that reflect on me and my research? But honestly,
from that point of view, I'd say you're overthinking it.
I probably am.
Yeah.
But it's also like, if we're discussing it and someone goes to search for Whitehall pottery and they see like, oh, Heidi said, like, don't call yourself DiResta Works because you're riding the coattails of someone else. Like, and then suddenly, like, 5 years after I changed my name, vintage manufacturer suddenly becomes popular again. It's like, well, you know, I call bullshit on her.
I have a question.
You know, I did. It's one of those questions for me. Like, do I change it? Do I leave it?
Yeah.
It's definitely something to consider, but sort of on the checklist of things to go through in my mind is like, how many of these requests have you got now? Or like,
just like two emails over like the course of the last year or so.
Okay. Yeah. So you're not being inundated by people mistaking you for this company. So it's not an immediate issue. On top of that, there might be a small benefit of like, you can document and say like, no, I started my business before all of you lot started Googling for this. My company name is this many years old. They've been dead. The name was free. I checked when I started this. Like, you can do all of that. Like, you shouldn't have to justify yourself to these people, but you could in this way.
Yeah.
And also, do you have those people, then they are looking up you. If they're already into pottery and they're discovering you, that might not be a bad thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But then on top of that, if you are starting to discover that, no, I have the bounce rate on my website is going up because people are searching for the name, but not being happy with what they find when they click on the link to my website. More people are mistaking you for them, etc., etc. Maybe not changing your name, but specifying your name, adding Whitehall Pottery Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah.
Because that wouldn't require you to do any actual rebranding. You might just have to buy a new domain.
Yeah.
And that could be a very cheap and easy way. Or see what SEO things you can do and sort of tie your name more specifically to Pittsburgh. But if you're already only selling locally, then that should, I imagine, kind of be in the algorithm already.
Yeah.
I think
it was just one of those interesting things that came up after several years of operating.
Yeah. I think one of the bigger concerns that would make me hesitate and think about it is, like you say, if you've got a major chain in the country starting to sell like repop versions of a brand or whatever it was, that's where it would be a little bit more like, huh, if there's going to be quite a lot of, if when people search for it, that's generating pages ahead of me, even locally, that would be a bigger concern to me than the sort of the guys who are collecting the original stuff.
But then would you not be able to have some kind of legal action if another big company is using your legal business name to market their own thing? I'm not sure about how like all of these laws go in the US, but I mean, if actually Home Depot is doing something and using the name you have the right to, shouldn't there be something? I mean, granted, you'll have to battle upwards to those lawyers.
Yeah. It's my business name. I don't have like a product trademarked as Whitehall.
Okay. Yeah.
And my logo is not trademarked either.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not keenly worried on it.
Yeah.
And I think that, there are a couple of people that have Facebook names that say Whitehall Pottery. And that's kind of weird because all they are is like a reseller or a collector of antique crocks from this Chicago company. But in the same, it's like if something existed, like even if we just looked at something existing in like the 1800s that is a product of your process, say it's a kiln or it's a type of anvil or it's a type of this thing and you use it in your name, and then suddenly the populace gets excited about that specific thing.
Yeah.
You know, what are the optics of that? Like, I fairly, you know, own this. It's fairly my company.
Yeah.
But, you know, from an optics perspective, are people like going to be, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But I also am secure enough that I don't give that much of a flying flip. Yeah. But
yeah, I mean, it's important to be aware of these things before they become an issue. But it also one of those of, you can also just decide you don't need to worry about this right now. And it might never grow any bigger, might blow over in a couple of years' time, and you're back to being on top. Or for some reason, if you keep ignoring it, it might grow even bigger.
Yeah.
You just keep an eye on it, then you are at least in the loop.
Yeah. I think someone brought the business back because I'm looking at the websites now. I'm like, I'm curious. Like, why is this popping up? So the company that was in Chicago that was making the crocks was called Whitehall Ceramics or Whitehall Products. Mm. And now it looks like they've redone their website. They've redone their logo. And that's who's selling to Home Depot under Whitehall Products.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
So it's different.
Did they try and take the name again? Like, did they say, oh, we're going to bring this business back? Because it says handcrafted since 1941, which I would assume is the vintage crock company. But I wonder what happened in regard to that. And I could probably reach out to them if I was really that curious. But
yeah,
again, it's a situation of optics. And
yeah, absolutely.
If our listeners were like, oh, Heidi, did you know this? Guess what?
Well, listeners, if you've got this far in, please reach out to Heidi and
bring it up
as a subject matter. Well, great, guys. Thank you very much for the conversation, as always. And to our listeners, I hope this has helped. I appreciate it was slightly rambly and off-piste, but that's fine because that's just you looking inside our brains. So now you probably need to go wash your eyes. And sit in a quiet room, dark space, listen to some whale music or Pink Floyd, depending on what you're imbibing in. Okay. So we look forward to speaking to you again. Maybe not with a mystery guest. We haven't decided where that episode will slot in yet. And we are sorry for the breaks being so long in between. That's something we're addressing. And as always, please like our stuff on wherever you listen to it. Please share it with as many people as you can. Talk to people about it. When you're next at a craft market, talk to all of the people around you. Bore them to tears with the sounds of the three people that you should be listening to and all of this kind of good stuff. We would appreciate it. And again, any feedback to us. Email is info@settingupshop. Shop is spelt S-H-O-P-P-E for reasons already mentioned in this podcast. If you want to get hold of us individually, you can reach me at BevelwoodUK on Instagram. You can reach Heidi at Whitehall Pottery, in case you weren't paying attention. you can reach Rasmus at LearnSmid. similarly Norwegian. Apparently, if you type in Loen, it's really popular. That's LoenSmed. You can find him there, still balancing hammers on his nose on his Instagram profile. So thank you very much for everyone for listening. Thanks to you guys, and we will speak to you all again soon.
Bye.
Bye.